Bank. Take some time and learn to be safe online. Northwest Bank is proud to be a champion and support this online safety program educationally. Northwest Financial Group earns top workplace award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. It's commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. My next guest is David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on Twitter. Hey, David, did anything fun happen to you this weekend?
Yeah, I got to watch a great offense.
Oh, my goodness, buddy.
You know, with a lot of potential NFL wide receivers and NFL quarterback and the nation's number one team.
And
a team I cover.
And an offensive coordinator that I don't know what to say. I've waited to get you on because at least, I mean, I get it sometimes because people bark at me because, well, you're an Iowa State fan. So you just listen. I know a whole bunch of these kids. They were the same age as my youngest or my middle. I love all these guys. I don't want them to do poorly. It's just a mess. And I don't think the University of Iowa knows how to get out of this mess.
I mean, there's so many layers to this, Dean. And, you know, I hate that we need to preface the point of we're not criticizing the kids.
No.
At this point, I'm criticizing the on-field performance. And it's been amazing from one perspective to see Spencer Petras go from, I think, one of the most hated Iowa athletes that I can remember, especially through the first 2 weeks of this season, to one of the most sympathetic figures in Iowa. I mean, from national pundits, every Iowa fan, not that they're apologizing to Spencer, but they just feel bad for the kid at this point. I mean, he's a product of a broken system. You know, what can you point to on the offense? I pose this question on my podcast, Swarmcast, my co-host Sean Bach. What can you point to offensively that has improved this season over the course of the season?
No. And I was surprised because I saw this over the weekend that they put up the same, what they are this year in all these offensive categories, and then put since he's been offensive coordinator. David, there's no difference between the numbers. They're all bad.
And that's what I think is really amplified the intensity and anger from Iowa fans because they see the championship level defense. I mean, Steen, they gave up 54 points to Ohio State and the defense played great.
They did play great.
I mean, like look at the actual statistics in Ohio State's average. I mean, four of Ohio State's first seven drives started at the Iowa 35 or closer, and Iowa held them to four field goals.
And the only touchdown was defense.
Exactly. They had the best NFL, you know, group of wide receivers. They're all going to the NFL. Iowa's defense played great. They held Ohio State to, what, 77 rushing yards? I want to say, I don't have the stats in front of me. And those are two unbelievably talented running backs, and Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, who I told you before the season, seems the most underrated player in America. I think he's spectacular. So I think with the championship-level defense, with a really, really good special teams, I don't think it's great this year, but it's really, really good. And the offense is that bad. If Iowa's below average offensively, Steen, they're probably 5-2 or 6-1 at this point.
Yes.
And that is what is so maddening to Iowa fans. And, you know, if Iowa fans want change, and I know they're not going to root for losses, the kids aren't going to tank or anything, but I pose this question again, Sean, and I thought about it a lot to myself. If Iowa somehow wins out this season, I don't think Kirk Ferentz makes a coaching change. I don't think they switch schematically. And that is so dangerous for the long-term future of Iowa football, in my opinion.
And this is once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on Twitter. It's this way, and not as bad as this is, but across the country, when you look at football coaches and their power that they have, Jimbo Fisher should be gone. I mean, there's more than just that, you know, but there are teams that are well performing below what they can, and you can blame the head coach, you know, and you know, they have that kind of power. If the best thing that I saw today is if his name is Brian Johnson and not Brian Ferentz, he was let go 4 years ago. And I think that's true.
I do as well. And, you know, it's gotten to the point, Steen, and I don't think people are talking about enough. Gary Bartas got to step on Kirk's toes.
Ugh.
And I don't think – here's the thing, though. I don't blame Kirk for not getting rid of anybody during the season, because even if Iowa moves around some stuff in season, Steen, Iowa is what it is. Like, I do not see how they get better instantly this season on offense. I think it's beyond that, because you can install new schemes at this point. The wide receiver room is as healthy as I think it's going to get. The offensive line is not progressing right now. I think some guys are playing out of position. I think they're really good. I think they're going to be a lot better next year. But Kirk said we'll evaluate it at the end of the year, and I think that's fair. But you can't evaluate honestly and say that everybody deserves to stay. There has to be more than, I say, even more than one change. There has to be a schematic change. Kirk has to attack the transfer portal. There has to be two or three coaches gone, Steen. I'm not responsible for who. I don't want to speculate. And guess what? It's not my job to make those decisions. The person whose job it is the guy who has a $42 million buyout. And I mean that with all due respect to Kirk Ferentz. But he has that buyout. He has that security. And we've never been at a point of time where past records and reputation mean less than this year. Because you look at Paul Chris got fired. And the thing that drives me insane, Steen, I know I'm going on a rant here, but when we criticize Kirk Ferentz for strictly on-the-field performance stuff, people say, well, why don't you talk about the positivity he does off the field? Those are two exclusive things. Nobody's criticizing who Kirk Ferentz is off the field and all he's done for the Children's Hospital, et cetera. But you can't objectively look at this football team and say, yeah, Kirk Ferentz is making all the correct decisions to lead Iowa football to where they need to be. And with NIL, with the transfer portal, and as we continue to enter uncharted territories, there is no more critical time for Kirk Ferentz to make right decisions than this offseason and right now.
It is. And for all those people that say, look at all the good he's done, the program has done him well, too. He has a $42 million buyout. He should be doing things for places in Iowa City. Nothing to do with what happens on the football field. I mean, if he was somewhere else besides in this state, I don't think he has a job, no matter who he is or what he's done. It just happens to be that's kind of the way this state is, man. We just roll with the punches.
And that's what's maddening to me. Not maddening, that's the wrong word. But I look at, you know, how media members kind of push in Alabama, how they push in New York, how they push in Florida, Texas. Like, Iowa fans, I think, would be amazed at how much people press the coaches and press the players, but that's just the normal thing. Each person has a role to play in telling the story of Iowa football, of whatever sport it is. And I, you know, it's one of those things where the ask the tough questions crowd, we ask tough questions. Kirk is a master of deflection, and he's been around the block enough that he's able to do that. But I do think, Steen, that the temperature is unlike anything I've ever seen from the Iowa fan base to what's going on within the program. And remember, Kirk Ferentz signed that extension, I think, the day of or the day before, at least it was announced, the Citrus Bowl. And Iowa, since the Penn State game, Spencer Petras has thrown three passing touchdowns. He is 3-8 in his last 11 starts. Iowa, I believe, is 7-9 in their past 16 games. And one of the wins came against Rutgers, and one came against an FCS school. So, you know, Kirk wants to say, yeah, they won 10 games last year. They've had a lot of success since 2015. Well, guess what? So did Paul Christ. So has a lot of other coaches around the country who have been fired. And again, I'm not calling for Kirk's job at all, but it's important that Kirk understands the magnitude of this offseason as far as the future of the Iowa football program. There's going to have to be tough decisions. Well, guess what? You're getting paid $42 million. You got to be able to make the decisions.
Yep, and they are. Like you said, they're behind in NIL. That matters. It especially matters in the Big Ten. It matters with, the amount of money, the TV contracts. If they continue to perform like they're doing, when you're setting up these new football contracts, why are you going to have Iowa in a premier spot on a football Saturday? You're not. I mean, there's all these things you have to think about besides just being the football coach. I mean, that's why he has staff, but he's not keeping the staff. You know, he's not making them be anything. I want to hit my head against a wall. I just don't understand it.
And, you know, I think this, people need to realize if Brian Ferentz is not the offensive coordinator next year, and again, I don't think he will be, and I don't think Kirk's going to fire him. I think he's going to leave on his own accord. It's still Kirk Ferentz's decision to change schematically, because while Brian Ferentz has not been a good play caller at all, I mean, the fact that the first play against Ohio State was a bootleg to the offside of Spencer Petras and threw it right the eye down the portal the whole time, went straight to the Ohio State's hands. It's not – Brian Ferentz has not been good at play calling. No. But this is Kirk Ferentz's offense.
Yes.
It's up to Kirk Ferentz to hire a guy from the outside and give him full control of the offense and modernizing it. Iowa does not have to be elite staying on offense. They keep Bill Parker. They have LeVar Woods. They get those special teams back to that great championship caliber. Again, it's really, really good, so I don't want people to think that I'm dissing the special teams. But they get back up to where they were in 2021. And if Iowa becomes a top 85 or 80 offense team, not even top half, they win the Big Ten West next year. And I would bet on that. And that should be the expectation.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, through all the years, if they ever switch and you have to play, you know, they just put everybody together and you got to play whoever you play, you know, sometimes you don't get some of these games that you should be winning. Like this game this weekend should be a win. It should be an easy win. Do you think it's going to be an easy win?
No, because I just don't see how you can point to any team in the country right now and say that's an easy win for Iowa. I mean, South Dakota State was not an easy win.
I wouldn't want to play them now.
Two safeties
would
and
you?
Field goal. I don't think Iowa would want to play them. I don't, you know. And again, Nevada, I guess you could say, was an easy win, but that was just such a weird game. The fact that it took 7 hours. I mean, Steam, the over under, according to Circa Sports, is 31.5. That's like 3 points lower than any game I've ever heard of. And guess what? I would still take the under on this weekend's game.
I'm not so sure that I wouldn't as well. Let's talk about some happy stuff, David. Let's talk about, let's talk about Keegan Murray. I a lot of people, when he was drafted by the Sacramento Kings, are like, okay, man, he's going to – that is not a good organization, dude. And they're showing it right now. They're using him about 17% of what they're using some of the other people, and he's their second-leading scorer. I feel bad for him right now.
I was just about to say, second on the team in scoring behind De'Aaron Fox, and he's seventh in usage.
Yep.
I mean, and the thing is, too, I've watched, you know, the first couple of his games, he's not getting the ball passed to him. Like, whenever he gets the ball, he's looking to shoot. I think they did a lot better against the Warriors, but especially in that first game, Keegan didn't touch the ball for the first, like, 4 minutes until I think it came off the rim, went straight to him on three-point line, and he just, you know, sprang up and drained it,
yep.
And which is, again, not really surprising. I do think he fits in well with that team schematically. I think he is still a rookie. His teammates are still looking to trust him. I mean, Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are the top two options. And I think the team needs a pure rim protector, and I think they need to learn how to guard. But I do still think that from a fit standpoint and from, you know, a style, I really do like the fit with Keegan Murray. I think it's going to be a good organization for him to at least get his career under him, and in terms of getting his usage up, in terms of proving how valuable of an individual player he is, it's a very good opportunity for him.
This is something I'd like to say, though, that if it had been 2 years ago and he would have came out and he went to the Sacramento Kings, and you had De'Aaron Fox, you had Tyrese Halliburton, and you had Keegan Murray. And the passing ability of Tyrese Halliburton, that would be fun to watch. Because he's just going to struggle getting the ball because those other people like to take shots. But, you know, whatever.
Yep.
He's still a great player, and it's going to show. How big a deal to you was Caitlin Clark signing that Nike contract?
I mean, massive. I mean, it's insane to think about. The NIL wasn't even a thing 3 years ago. Caitlin Clark's in high school 3 years ago, and now she's a Nike athlete. I mean, I think it's a very powerful tool in terms of pushing women's college basketball. I asked Caitlin Clark about that during, you know, Iowa Media Day, and she said how much pride she takes in trying to push the sport forward. And I think the fact that Nike's willing to throw their brand behind her, I think that speaks volumes, not only how great of a player she is, but how great of a person she is. I mean, you've interacted with Caitlin. You've known Caitlin for years. She is a very goofy personality, but she is one of the most mature, well-adjusted athletes for as big as they are that I have come across in this industry, Steen. I mean, she really makes it a point to be a role model for people. And I think, again, with Nike, I think it's going to allow her to do bigger things in terms of trying to expand women's basketball, in terms of being a good role model for people. And, you know, they also, it puts Iowa on the map even more
yes.
under Lisa Bluter.
And it's showing. I mean, you get somebody from Oregon that's going to come to Iowa. I mean, you have these, you know, these high quality athletes that are going to start coming there as well. And that means a lot. And not only is she a role model for female athletes, I think she's a role model for high school kids, boys. I think she's a role model for a lot of men in NCAA basketball. And I know that there are more NBA players that follow her than we can even imagine.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, Travis Scott, world famous music artist, is a big fan of her. Kevin Durant's been very outspoken about her. Trae Young thinks that Caitlin plays like her. I mean, there are so many NBA superstars that are all aboard the Caitlin Clark fandom. And it's a really cool thing to see. And I'm with you on that. I mean, I was, again, the same question I posed to Caitlin, she said, you know, there are a lot of little girls, but a lot of little, like, boys want to come to our games and watch us play because it's a fun brand of basketball. And I mean, you and I have been very outspoken about Iowa and Iowa State women's basketball. And it's a fun brand of basketball to watch on top of everything else. Like, they are probably two of the top five most entertaining teams in women's basketball at either level, in my opinion, just with the systems they play. Two outstanding coaches on and off the court. And, I mean, they love offense. And it's very, very fun. It's going to be very easy to – it's very easy to really absorb and really dive into.
I saw the commercial today with Coach out there saying they're going to raise the curtains and Carver's going to be so full you're not even going to know what to do. And there'll be people outside and – can't get in, and it'll be crazy. What a time that will be. David, as always, tough talk, but somebody has to do it. Hopefully next Monday is much better, my friend.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
You too. David Eichhold. That's not easy for him. He has to deal with that every day. He has to be honest, and he's one honest young man. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'll be back right after this break.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ. Things are running Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter is at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700thechamp.com. I will have the podcast up tonight when I get home. Bears Patriots tonight. I don't know if that gets people excited. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how exciting of a game that is. We're going to, here in just a second, we're going to look into some Week 8 NFL schedule coming up next week, dive into some, do a little NBA, and then do a little potpourri to end the show today. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022, 2023 is now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage and banking keep both staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Okay, so coming up, like I said, tonight, who do we got tonight? We have the Bears and the Patriots tonight. That's going to be interesting. The line is New England minus 8.5, and over-under is only 40. Not looking for a bunch of high-scoring things to happen. Next week for the NFL, Thursday night game is interesting. It is Baltimore at Tampa Bay. That'll be interesting to see which one of those two teams is going to keep, you know, if Tampa Bay can recover, if Baltimore can kind of build on things. Denver is at Jacksonville. Arizona at Minnesota. That's an interesting game. Minnesota stays hot. The more games that they can keep in between them and the Green Bay Packers, the better for them. Carolina, Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Vegas, Las Vegas, New Orleans, Miami, Detroit, New England, New York, Jets would have been a great game without the injuries. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, interesting game. Philadelphia just way more talented right now. Tennessee, Houston, not a great game. The Giants and Seattle. You're going to know how good a team the New York Giants are because Seattle is really good. I think the Giants will give Seattle a little bit of trouble. Let's see if Geno Smith can continue what he's doing. San Francisco at the Rams, that's going to be interesting. Washington, Indianapolis. Ugh. And then you have the late game on Sunday's Green Bay at Buffalo. Aaron Rodgers said maybe that's what we need. Maybe we come out, we play well, we beat Buffalo, we're right back where we need to be. The other side of that is they continue to play like they have against not very good teams and go into Buffalo and play that same way and get beat by four touchdowns. I don't know how that's going to be either. And then the Monday night game, a really good Monday night game, Cincinnati at Cleveland. I am still under the impression that I think, and seriously, Cincinnati is, let me go back to the standings here. Cincinnati is 4-3. They lost one game because their long snapper got hurt on one of the first field goals, and they missed three field goals because they couldn't hike the ball back to the, so that puts them at, 5-2, and they lost one game really, really late on just some peculiar play calling. They have, and they are just as close to 6-1 as they are being 4-3. Their point differential is 173 to 132. That's good. The defense is playing well. They're scoring. It is amazing. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's 32 teams in the NFL, and I'm looking here. Buffalo is good. The Jets are good. And then New England is good for having more points. So there's three. Baltimore makes it 4. Cincinnati makes it 5. Jacksonville makes it 6. Kansas City makes 7. Vegas makes 8. Philadelphia makes 9. Giants make 10. Dallas makes 11. Minnesota makes 12. And stuck at 12. San Francisco makes 13. 13 out of 32 teams have scored more points than they've allowed. That shows you what type of season it is right now. And some of the, you know, and some of those, you have a bad game every now and then. I get that. But that's a pretty big discrepancy of where you're kind of at in the NFL season. Let's talk really quick, just because I'm excited. I mean, you are, I do believe, let me check right here if I hit that right there, that we are, it's giving it just a second. November 7th is when we start getting NCAA basketball games for men and NCAA games for women is, it's less than 2 weeks away, folks. That is incredibly outstanding that we are getting to that close to having the full boat of sports. You're going to have, the World Series is going to be close. So men's and women's basketball start Monday, November 7th. That is a little bit more than, well, it's 2 weeks from today. So there you have it. We're going to have that. We're going to have NBA. I wanted to talk a little NBA basketball. usually when I talk NBA basketball, I have one of the boys pop in here with me, but one I know is in Colorado, and the other one is out getting us dinner for tonight, so he can go do that. Right now, if you're looking at the NBA, and some of these games are a lot of fun to watch, you're kind of scratching your head a little bit. The Utah Jazz, after trading Donovan Mitchell, have started their season 3-0. The Portland Trailblazers are 3-0. The Pelicans are 2-1, fighting some injuries already. The Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors are both 2-1. The Timberwolves are 2-1. The Clippers, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, and the Spurs. Mavericks are 1-1. You still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams have not won a game yet. The Lakers, the Kings, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Sixers, and the Magic. Now, which one of those stick out? Well, the Lakers and the 76ers were playoff teams. So right now those stick out. The Sixers are giving up 7 more points than what they are scoring. And as well, the Lakers are doing the same. So not a lot of great basketball. When you look at season leaders so far, just individual players who are playing really good right now. The top 5 scorers in the league are all scoring over 33 points a game. It's not hard to think about who they are. I'm going to tell you all the ones that are over 30. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 31.7. Devin Booker, 32. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32. Donovan Mitchell is averaging 33. Steph Curry, 33. Luka Doncic, 33. Damian Lillard, 34. Ja Morant, 34. And Jason Tatum, just a tick under 35 points per game. That is outstanding. And he's average. I mean, here's the crazy numbers, right? When you're looking at this, he's averaging over 34 points a game and shooting almost 60% from the field. Ja Morant shooting 54% from the field. He's shooting 57% from the field from three-pointer, 84 from free throw. This is the crazy one. Giannis is averaging, he's shooting 70% from the field. He's shooting 50%. He's not hit a bunch of them. He's still struggling on the free throw line. He still only shoots 55%. He's got to get that up. I was looking at, see what Steph's shooting 47% from the floor, 44 from three-point line, and he hasn't missed a free throw yet this year. So that shows how well he is currently playing. When you look at teams that you would expect to be playing better, and I get it, it's 3 games in. The Brooklyn Nets are 1-1. They have some things to work out. The Pacers, you know, they're just missing that one piece. Tyrese Halliburton is starting out, having a really good year. It's fun to watch him play. A couple of teams, I think, the Bulls are going to be better. The Pistons are going to be better. The Heat are going to be better. They're all 1-2. They have things they need. They're just little teeny things that they need to work out. I am one, and they've made the last 2 playoffs. I think they continue to get better. I think the more they grow with each other. I'm curious to see what the Atlanta Hawks will do. The Cleveland Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell and the way they play and the defense they play are going to be fun to watch. Same with the Charlotte Hornets. And if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do because you have LeBron who's still playing at a high level. There's no doubt that he's playing at a high level. They lost a 2-point the 2-point game to the Trailblazers the other night. They lost by 6 to the Clippers. They lost by 14 to the Warriors. You know, they're going to get LeBron's averaging 27 a game, 7 assists a game. He's still unbelievable for his age and what he's doing. Anthony Davis, you know, you just never know what you're going to get with this Laker team. LeBron's averaging 36 minutes a game. That's an awful lot of minutes. He's averaging 11 rebounds, too. 11 rebounds, 7 assists. He's averaging 27 points. His turnovers are a little high, but he's having to do a lot. He's averaging 4 turnovers a game. Anthony Davis is averaging 24.7, kind of what you thought he'd do. Lonnie Walker's having a good game. Russell Westbrook is averaging 10 a game. His percentages are atrocious. I get Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley. There are not two more hardworking individuals in the NBA. Just give you everything that they have. They cannot shoot or score. It is so difficult. And it's so hard for Russell Westbrook because his surrounding cast, if he's out there with the second team, isn't good enough for him to really showboat his skills that he has. And the fact that LeBron and Anthony Davis would be in there at the same time with him, it takes away his, you know, they want to go to the hole. They play better. They shoot better. They deserve more shots. And so that makes it very difficult for Russell Westbrook to, you know, get through what he needs that he needs to be able to do. So not a lot of positives yet for the LA Lakers. When we come back after this break, we got a break coming up. I do have the I have 5A and 4A high school football playoff picture coming up. We have some potpourri to go through, just some quick potpourri to end today. It was very nice to be able to talk to David. Just a couple of quick. I get it. It's not hard. It's not hard to see his frustration. It's not easy to do his job when you know that there are questions you have to ask, and you know you're not going to get answers that are to the point. And you know, you can't end every tough question with, "We haven't done it in the past. We're not going to do it in the present. We'll think about it in the future." You just can't answer every question like that. I get it. Kirk Ferentz gets to do that because he knows how to do those stand up interviews. But man, it's you got to start having some wins in there too. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk, Real Sports Fans.
Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. Last segment on this Monday already. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. The Chicago Bears are at the New England Patriots tonight. 7 o'clock pregame. Get ready to go from there. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic. Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. 3 locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, 1301 Penn Avenue in Des Moines, Suite 213, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Service include foot and ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. DMOS Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look for wait times online at DMOS.com. Hours, West Des Moines, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, or Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 8 p.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny is Monday through Friday from 7 to 3, Saturday from 8 to 12. And this is they came up. I found a better thing than Scott and I saying bones sticking out of it. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, go to emergency room. If the condition is a minor illness or injury, Take advantage of the convenience and affordability your urgent care has to offer. We accept most insurances, but we always recommend confirming with your insurance carrier. New to DMOS is Engineered Performance Diet by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Also have locations in Grimes and Huxley. Want to thank Des Moines Orthopedic for being a part of the show, along with Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, BetMGM, and Come and Go. Want to thank all of them for being a part of the show. Okay, so just a little bit of potpourri to end the day today. I found this interesting today. NASA is spending billions of dollars to gather information and data for UFOs. It gets to a point where if you dig deep enough out there on social media, you can find that they have all kinds of instances that they have things that happen darting across up where they have all their telescopes and microphones that they don't understand and they don't know exactly what it is. It's always kind of cool to listen. At least you get to be out there and, they're seeing what's out there. I get it. Doesn't mean they want to be down here. Doesn't mean they're coming. I mean, it's funny. I just thought it was really, really funny. I watched a little bit today. I watched Kirk Ferentz do his time up on the interviews. I watch Matt Campbell. I watch Lisa Bluter today, Bill Finley, TJ, Coach McCaffrey, all these guys. And it's not easy. But man, this one, and I've felt this way a long time. Who in the world would ever, and I mean ever, want to be the press secretary for the president? Talk about a thankless job. Wow. It is, and you can tell that there's people that really don't want to do it anymore because it's not the same type of, during the previous administration, it was really weird. And during this administration, it's really weird. I mean, it is kind of a sad story a little bit. Growing up, I really, really liked John Thompson and the Georgetown Hoyas. I loved watching the way they played. I think I loved the way they played because I wasn't a big scorer, but I loved to play defense and I loved to get into people's heads and play defense that way. And it was just a fun team to watch. Today there was a big article out there with Alonzo Mourning is sitting in with Dikembe Mutombo. Dikembe Mutombo he's fighting brain cancer. It just shows how that family, that Georgetown Hoya family, back in the day, still are great. I mean, it's two Hall of Fame, Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe Mutombo. Patrick Ewing as well has been in on all that as well. Sorry about that. Had to sneeze. Whew. I hit the button quick enough that you didn't hear me. Wow. Best. I have to be very honest. I loved watching Aaron Judge play. I hated that. The New York Yankees cannot beat the Houston Astros. So, and I can't wait to see Rob in the next couple of weeks to say, okay, what's the New York Yankees have to do? Because the way they're constructed, they can beat the rest of the American League, but they can't beat the Astros. And you have to figure out. It's not a money thing. Houston Astros don't have the money that the New York Yankees do. The first thing the New York Yankees have to do is figure out how much money they're willing to pay Aaron Judge. Now, Aaron Judge during the season, no matter what happened, no matter what New York's record would have been, what he did this year transcended baseball to a certain extent. He wasn't great in the playoffs. Playoff is different. You can pitch around people. You can be very specific on how you pitch someone. Here's somebody who's been extremely fun to watch for the last few years, but especially this year, especially this time of year, and to see him be able to perform and hit like he is. I don't know when he is on if you can pitch to him and get him out. And that would be one Bryce Harper, who had a heck of a weekend and has these Philadelphia Phillies, along with Kyle Schwarber. Who would have thought that? They are in the World Series. He is that outspoken, in-your-face leader that you need on a baseball team. Not everybody can do it. Not everybody has the kahunas to do it. He does. And he's that type of player. And he had that type of excitement this weekend. Matt Ryan was benched for Sam Ehlinger. Another Indianapolis throwing away their... You started with Carson Wentz? Nope. You started with Matt Ryan? Nope. You had Peyton Manning, you had Andrew Luck, and it hasn't been the same since. Wow. I just had to hit the button again. Just sneezed again. Holy buckets. It is going to be a very interesting World Series. The Astros and Phillies, I mean, that's a lot of chatter. That's going to be a lot of chatter during those games. And it's going to, I mean, there's some stars here. And I'm very curious to see what happens. I mentioned this earlier today. Mario Cristobal used to be the coach at Oregon, went down to Miami. He's mad at media for getting high expectations out there. Said he knew that they were in for the long haul, not ready day one. And see, that's the thing that these coaches have to understand anymore. Because you have people that come in and they change things from day one. LSU was not a good football team, and I think Brian Kelly is going to make them a really good football team. Now, does that mean Brian Kelly can stay there long term? I think he wears people out. But you have a lot of coaches that can go places and can win right away. I think what you're seeing is there's some older style coaches that are struggling. Jimbo Fisher's struggling. He has all the money in the world. He has all the name, image, likeness in the world. He still doesn't know how to relate to these kids. It happens that way a little bit with Kirk Ferentz. Listen, he's an old school guy. And old school guys aren't going to cut it in college football if you want to get to the prize of college football. And the prize of college football right now is very difficult to get to. You have to be in that top four. And you are fighting the establishment. The establishment would like to see, and when I say establishment, I'm saying Fox, ESPN, CBS. The establishment would like to see three SEC teams in there, or at the worst case scenario, two SEC teams and two Big Ten teams, because that's where all their money is. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's always going to be that way. But you have to perform. The thing you can't do in college football right now, you cannot lose to a team that is ranked lower than you, or your chances of getting there are not going to be favorable. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's Mondays. It's always easy. All kinds of things to talk about. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott tomorrow. You'll be listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ, AM Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a great night. Drive home safe.